Yes, today I'm going to talk about whether or not there are long-term benefits to prescribing analog insulin compared to human insulin. And none of the authors have any financial relationships to disclose. So as many of you are aware, type 2 diabetes is a progressive disease, and so patients often require insulin at some point to maintain glycemic control. When patients get to this point, providers have two choices. They can prescribe synthetic human insulin, or NPH, that has been used for decades, or they can prescribe analog insulin, such as glargine, that entered the market in 2000. The analog insulins are designed to more mimic the natural insulin release in the body, and so because of this, they have a longer half-life, and it is argued that patients may find that more comforting, more easily to take the analog insulin because they don't feel the peaking as insulin comes and goes as much as on the NPH. However, the analog insulin is significantly more expensive than the NPH, and so because of that, researchers and policymakers have wondered whether or not there are differences in outcomes between analog insulin and NPH. When they've looked at short-term outcomes, there's been very little differences found. There's no differences in glycemic control between the two types of insulins. There's no difference in severe hypoglycemic events. However, those on analog insulin do find that they have fewer nocturnal hypoglycemic events, and that is hypothesized to make those who take analog insulin more likely to adhere to their insulin regime and more likely to intensify their insulin regime when they need it. And this increased adherence is then hypothesized to decrease long-term complications and lower costs. However, the short time frame of many of these studies have made it difficult to actually test this conclusion. There have been a few cost-effectiveness studies, and they've provided mixed results. Some find that analog insulin is cost-effective, while others find that it is not cost-effective. And these studies tend to rely on clinical trial data where they model long-term complications, but these clinical trials may not reflect life in the real-world clinical setting. The other type of study that has looked at these questions are retrospective claim studies, but they may not account for selection bias. So our main research objective was to examine the long-term outcomes between analog insulin and NPH, and we are going to use a retrospective observational study, but we're specifically going to account for selection bias with an instrumental variable approach. Our study population were all patients who had a prescription for diabetes medication in the VA between 2000 and 2007, and were following them through 2010. So for some patients, we're following them for up to 10 years. We included patients who had a history of oral medication, so that includes metformin, a sulfonylurea, or a TZD. And then since one of our outcomes is hospitalization, we wanted complete claims on hospitalizations, so we required them to also be eligible for Medicare. That left us with about 143,000 patients. 119,000 of them started on NPH, and another 24,000 started on analog insulin. So the patients enter the study when they start on NPH or analog insulin, and the 12 months before that date is their baseline period where we're measuring risk adjustment variables and comorbidities. We then follow these patients until they die or the end of 2010. And as I said, our main treatment variable of interest is whether or not they start on analog insulin compared to NPH. And we did check to make sure that the insulin that they started on, they remained on throughout the study period. And 80% of those who started on NPH had NPH as their last insulin prescription, and that number is 95% for those who started on analog insulin. Our two outcomes were mortality and then a hospitalization for an ambulatory care-sensitive condition. So these hospitalizations are defined by ARC, and they're hospitalizations that should be able to be preventable if you're receiving high-quality outpatient care. Several of them are specific to diabetes, such as short-term complications of diabetes, and there's also several more that are specific that are cardiovascular related. And since diabetics have a high rate of cardiovascular complications, these are also important. So with any observational study, one of the big concerns is potential selection bias. So patients who are receiving analog insulin may be healthier or sicker in unmeasured ways. And if that's the case, their outcomes could be better or worse because of these unobserved baseline health differences. In a randomized controlled trial, since the treatment is randomly assigned, this is not a concern. So we were interested in finding a variable that acts like this randomization variable in a randomized controlled trial, and have found that others have found that local practice pattern variation is not affected by individual patients' health status and can be used as an instrument. So our instrumental variable in the study was the provider-level practice pattern, and specifically the share of the insulin prescriptions that are for analog insulin by provider in the baseline period. If a provider wrote fewer than 10 prescriptions in that baseline period, then we calculated it at the clinic level. And this just demonstrates that there was significant variation between providers in how often they prescribed analog insulin. Not surprisingly, the amount of analog insulin increases throughout the study period as it enters the market and becomes more popular. But even in like June of 2008, for instance, 25% of the providers are prescribing analog insulin less than 5% of the time, but another 25% of the providers are prescribing it more than 20% of the time. And this slide demonstrates how using provider practice pattern how that essentially randomizes the sample. The left column here are patient, are characteristics of patients who were assigned to providers that prescribe analog insulin at high rates, and the right column are then patients who are assigned to providers who prescribe analog insulin at lower rates. So not surprisingly, if you're assigned to a provider where you're getting that prescribes analog insulin at high rates, you're much more likely to get analog insulin yourself. However, all the other patient characteristics are pretty well dead balanced between the two groups. They're similar age, there are similar levels of obesity, there are similar levels of congestive heart failure, hypertension, and COPD, and there's no difference in outcomes between the two groups. So other control variables that we include in the model are basic demographics. We include measures of how severe the diabetes is in the baseline period using the Young Diabetes Severity Index. And we also have Ehlers-Danlos comorbidity groups that are a wide range of physical and mental comorbidities, as well as year and hospital effects. Okay, so this gives you hazard ratios from a Cox proportional hazard model that's predicting mortality and preventable hospitalization. And as you can see, there's no significant difference between analog insulin and MPH in the risk of experiencing either outcome. The other covariates in the models are showing an expected relationship. Older age are significantly more likely to experience both outcomes. If you have a variety of comorbidities, such as congestive heart failure or drug abuse, you're significantly more likely to experience both outcomes. And if you were prescribed metformin in the baseline period, you're less likely to experience both outcomes. So these results suggest that analog insulin is not cost-effective. We find no difference in mortality or preventable hospital risk. Preventable hospitalization risk when comparing the two types of insulin. And this has significant cost implications. So a recent study in Annals has looked at Medicare Part D prescribing patterns compared to the VA prescribing patterns, and they found that Medicare Part D recipients were much more likely to be prescribed analog insulin compared to NPH. They estimated that if Medicare Part D recipients were matching the prescribing patterns of the VA, there would be a savings of about $189 million in 2008. Now, these implications are actually going to change fairly quickly, however, because the analog insulin patents are going to expire in either 2014 or 2015. So it is expected that generic alternatives of the analog insulins are going to enter the market, but it's an open question to how easily they're going to be able to do so, because any manufacturer of the generic insulins are going to have to prove that the final products are similar in safety and effectiveness to the current analog insulins on the market. And this is going to be a much more challenging task in these protein-based insulins compared to the smaller generic molecules, because small changes in protocols may have a big effect on the final product. So because of that, it's estimated that the generics that may enter the market are only going to be about 20 to 40% cheaper than the current analog insulins, and MPH may remain the most cost effective. However, the main limitation of our study is that because it was administrative data, we have no data on quality of life outcomes. And providers tell me that they have patients who really find the analog insulins much easier to take because of the longer half-life and the less peaking activity. And so future research should focus on these quality of life outcomes. All right. And I believe that's it.